shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Once the Savior went away to prepare a place to stay, and he's coming back someday to take his waiting bride away. And forever we will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Praise the Lord. I'm having fun so far today. How about y'all? All right. If you'll go ahead and open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, and we got some church business to take care of here in just a little bit, and so I'm going to try not to keep you real long, but Brother Cleo is going to come up and read for us Hebrews chapter 10, verses 21. Through 25, and we're going to probably be spending all day here. Now, I don't mean all day this morning, but I want to encourage you to come back tonight, because we're going to come back to the same place of Scripture tonight and look at some more things, and so I want to encourage you to do that. And But Cleo's going to come up, and he's going to read for us Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21 through 25.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21 to 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Thank you, Brother Cleo. As I got to thinking about this year, and I got to thinking about my own personal life, what I want from God this year. Have you ever thought about that? What do you want from God this year? You say, well, I've really not thought about it. I want to challenge you to think about that. So I begin to stop and I begin to think, you know, to myself, what do I want from God this year? I got to reading this portion of scripture and I got to thinking about it. I got to praying about it. And what I want from God this year and what I want with God this year is to do real business with God. Real business with God. Again, you know, I think of, you know, the Bible where, you know, it talks about Elijah and being taken up in the Elijah being taken up in the whirlwind and I think about the testimony of Moses of Noah that he walked with God. I think about Adam and Eve even with them in the Bible as they walked daily with the Lord Jesus Christ before sin, and then, you know, thinking of many New Testament examples, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ that had the opportunity to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and to be close and to gain and to learn so much. So I got to thinking about it and I got to praying, you know, Lord, what do I want this year from you? What do I want to achieve this year? I want to achieve doing real business with God. Now, again, I'm not talking about necessarily, I believe it'll be a product of it, the opportunity this year of leading people to the Lord. Now, what we're going to talk about here today, that's a product of what we're going to talk about today. Our church growing, it'll be a product of what I'm talking about today. But I would like to see us, myself personally, and our church this year do real business with God. You say, well, you know, preacher, don't understand. You know, we're pretty good people. We are, we're walking along, the best we know how. But I want us to really focus this year on doing real business. And I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to dive into the message here, and I want to point out some things to you. And again, I probably won't finish it all. We'll get back to it some tonight as well. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, most of all, that you would help me to articulate what it is you would have your people to hear today. Lord, I pray that you'd give me clarity of thought. Lord, I pray that you'd lay those things upon my heart that you would have me to say. Lord, I pray those things that you wouldn't have me to say. Lord, I just pray that you would take them from my mind, take them from my heart. And Lord, I pray that as we look into your word today, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, that you'd encourage us, Lord, to desire more of you this year. And Lord, to desire to give more of us to you this year. And Lord, I just pray that your will to be done. And we ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. You know, as I thought about a theme for our church this year, one of the things that I thought about is giving more to Jesus in 22. You giving more to Jesus in 22. And again, when I say you, I mean each and every one of us. And so I got to looking here at the scriptures, and I got to seeing this, and God began to show me some wonderful things here that I want to relay to you. I want to share with you. And starting with verse number 21, the Bible says, "And having an high priest over the house of God." You know, I got to looking at that verse, and the more I read that, the more that God just keeps showing me out of that verse. You know, it's telling us having an high priest, not having high priests, having an one, that being the Lord Jesus Christ, having an high priest over the house of God. And what we're talking about here this morning is our church. Now, again, when we're talking about church, we're not talking about the church building. We're talking about the people. And the Bible here is telling us that there is only one high priest over the house of God. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, a missionary friend of mine this morning to India, and it always brings me to mind as I think about India and all of the gods that they have that they worship, over 324 million gods. And I got to thinking about it. You know, I struggle greatly every day trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't imagine trying to please 323 other million gods. But I thank the Lord that all I have to do is concentrate and work on pleasing one God. And the Bible says that He is over the house of God. You know, when I read that, you know what that makes me think about? He's in charge. He's the one that calls the shots. He's the one that gives us direction. He's the one that will guide us. He's the one that will show us where we're to be this year, how we're to do it, and where the funds. Everything that we're going to need to know this year, the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is over His house and over the house of God, which is our church, will direct us and will show us. Now, with that being understood, and understanding that, and I don't think we've got anybody in here that would argue with that this morning. I hope not. But if you want to argue with that, then we got another message we need to talk about. You need to get saved. No one's going to argue with that, but how? How do we do that? How do we do that? You say, well, now wait a minute, preacher. We're here at church, and we pretty much each day read our Bibles and we pretty much pray. But how can we do real business with God? And I got to reading this passage of Scripture, and I see here three places in the Word of God where it says, "Let us." Now, again, what we're talking about here is the house of God. We're talking about the church, and the Bible says here, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Now, let's stop there and just look at that part of the Scripture. Let us draw near with a true heart. You know, I got to looking at those words, true heart. First of all, I got to looking at the words draw near. And what we need to do, and in order to be able to do real business with God, folks, we need to get to the point in our lives when we are drawing near to God. And again, I'm not talking about just our church attendance. I'm not talking about your Bible reading and your praying, although all of those has a part. What I'm talking about is really seeking and desiring a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So close that it would be hard to identify you without seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us here, what we first got to do is we've got to draw near. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ makes Himself available to us 24/7, 365 days a year. There's not a moment in the life of a born-again believer where they are out of the presence of God. Now, they may be out of the fellowship of God, but not out of the presence of God. So our drawing nigh to the Lord does not depend on what God does. It depends on what we do. And the Bible says here, let us draw near. And what we've got to start doing is we've got to start putting our priorities in order. We've got to start working on the relationship that God wants us to have with Him. And the first thing, and the only way that that's ever going to work out is drawing near to God. You know what we need to do as a church? We need to make sure that in every area in our lives, God is first. You say, well, I do that. Well, you may do in some areas of your life. But I'd like to ask you this morning, as you seek to draw near to God, what is there in your life that stands between you and God? For example, if I were to ask you to be a Sunday school teacher, if your response to me would be, oh no, I can't because of X situation or X sin in my life. You know, that's an area where I want to encourage you today. And I want to encourage you this year to deal with it, to get it taken care of, so that your relationship can improve with God. And you see, that's part of drawing near and getting closer to God. See, it's not God getting close to you, it's you getting close to God. And it says, draw near. And I might be getting a little ahead of myself here, but it says, draw near with a true heart. You know, when we look at that true heart, we in order to draw near to God, we must have a true heart. This means genuine, sincere, honest, meaningful, and without hypocrisy. In order to have a true heart, in order to be able to draw nigh to God, folks, what we've got to do is we've got to start with a pure heart. And again, that's what I was referring to. Is there some areas in our lives that secret sin that you don't think anybody knows about? You know, that's a sin, folks, that you need to begin to take care of and deal with so that you can have a closer relationship with God. You know, as I've been praying, the Lord this morning, he has a real sense of humor. I woke up at 1:16 this morning, and I have been up ever since. And I went into my office and I began to pray. And I began to pray for you all. And I began to look into God's word and begin to go over my message and things like that. And again, I just come to the point in my life where I want more of Jesus in my life. And the way that I'm going to get more of Jesus is I'm going to have to draw closer to Him. And I'm going to have to draw to Him with a pure heart. I'm going to have to be genuine in my prayers. I'm going to have to be sincere in my direction towards God. I'm going to have to start getting honest with God. I'm going to have to start getting honest with God. You know what hinders most prayer? Dishonesty. You know, sometimes what we do is in our prayers, we'll play games with God. God, I'm in a mess. If you'll take care of this, I will. And we pray that, and when God takes care of that problem, we don't. Because again, we need to approach God with sincerity. We need to approach God with honesty. Honesty of who we are. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll let pride get in the way, and we'll begin to think, you know, that we in our lives are a great blessing to God. Well, the truth of the matter is each and every one of us in here are sinners saved by grace. I don't know about you all, and I'm pretty sure I know it's true in my life. There were some times in my life this week, actually every day this week, I had to do business with God and ask for forgiveness for things that I did that I shouldn't have done, things that I said that I shouldn't have said, thoughts that I had that I shouldn't have thought. But in order to be able to draw close to the Lord, we must have a true heart. And I want to encourage you to have a true heart, to be honest, to be meaningful with God. When we go to prayer with the Lord Jesus Christ, what we need to start doing is we need to start having meaningful prayer. Most of our prayers, need to be with honesty. Most of our prayers be meaningful. How many times when you pray, do you pray? When you get done praying, think about it. Your prayer was a whole list of God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. God, I need, God, I need, God, I need, God, I want, God, I want, God, I want. What I'd like to do this year is I would like to spend some time drawing closer to the Lord with meaningful prayer. And going to God and saying, God, what do you want from me? God, will you take me today and will you show me? Will you point me in the right direction? Lord, will you take out anything, any obstacles in my life that would prevent me from being where you want me to be today and doing what you want me to do today? We need to have some meaningful prayer. We need to have some meaningful conversations, and we need to be meaningful in our heart. We need to be thankful and appreciative. You say, well, I pray and thank God for our food. We've talked about this before. How many times have you prayed and asked God to bless the food and you really didn't mean a word you said? I've done it. You know, we need to be thankful. We need to be appreciative of the things that God has given us, the things that God has blessed us with. And again, also in this area in our lives, we need to be thankful for the temptations and the trials that we go through. You know, there's two ways to look at things. I was talking to a guy in Walmart this week, and you know, we were talking about what's going on, and I had the opportunity to witness to him and talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, you're a preacher, man. He said, can you answer me this question? Why is God allowing all this stuff to go on? Told him, I said, well, first of all, God allows us to make decisions. God wants us to come to Him as with a free will. And as we were talking there, and as we were going on, you know, we got to talking about the trials, and we got to talking about things that we go through in our life. You know, there's two ways to look at it. You can look at it as God did it to me, or you can look at it as God did it for me. You see, both of them sound pretty similar, but have two different meanings. See, God doesn't do anything to you, but God does a lot of things for you. Sometimes what God has to do is give you a good old-fashioned spiritual whooping to get your attention. You know, I would that I would get few whoopings from the Lord Jesus Christ and God, but unfortunately, as my dad would say, and I know this isn't going to make any sense to you, the rock doesn't fall far from the bottom of the tree. Why he says it that way, I do not have a clue, but that's what he says. You know, I have to learn through a lot of things through the school of hard knocks. You know what I want to do? I want to draw closer to the Lord this year so I don't have to learn things so hardly. So I don't have to learn things through the Lord putting obstacles in my life to get my attention. We need to be appreciative. We need to be thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have gladness. We need to have we need to be joyful. Sometimes we walk around so defeated. Well, there's no reason why nobody wants to get saved, because we walk around with our chin hanging down to our toes and always singing, poor, woe is me. You know, and again, I'm not saying you can't never have a problem or you can't never have a down day. But sometimes we let down days and problems overrule our lives when if we would just give them over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to feel free and have liberty to enter the presence of God. You know, I thank the Lord for my salvation. I thank the Lord that I stand before God cleansed of sin. You say, well, now what are you saying, preacher? You're perfect and you're without sin? Oh, not by a long shot. But you see, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me, Him taking His blood and giving it on Calvary and paying for my sins allows me to feel free and have liberty to go into the throne room of God. You know, when I got up at 1:16 this morning, and I went up in my office to pray, although it was in my house and sitting at my desk, because of what Jesus Christ did for me, my prayers and myself was right there in the throne room of God. He heard every word I said. He listened. I had his full, undivided attention. You say, well, how in the world can God do that? Have everybody's undivided attention at the same time. You know, I don't know how he does it, but I know he does it. Because he heard my prayers and he listened to me. And I thank the Lord that I have, because of what I have and because of the high priest that I have, I can enter into the throne room of God and hear what God has to say. In order to draw nigh to God, we need to come with a true heart. We also must have full assurance of faith. Well, first of all, we need to make sure that we are born again. What are you depending on for your salvation? What are you trusting in to get you to heaven? What are you trusting in to allow you to access the throne room of God? If you're thinking that your membership here at Faith Independent Baptist Church is what gets you into the throne room of God, I got news for you. You're sadly mistaken. Because Faith Independent Baptist Church can't do a thing for you. If you're depending on your good works or your being nice to people and you're hoping that one day that your good will outweigh your bad and that's going to gain you access and into the presence of God, well, you're in trouble. Because that don't work. But you know, there's only one way. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on Calvary. That'll save us. That'll get us to heaven. But you want to get directly into the throne room of God? Apply some of those same things. Assurance of faith. The Bible tells us here that when we enter into the throne room of God, draw nigh to God with a true heart, full assurance of faith, believing and knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. That's what it's talking about there, a full assurance of faith. You know, I can tell you this morning, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I am a saved, born-again Christian. If I were to kill over, drop dead right here in front of you, I know that I would spend eternity in heaven with Jesus forever. You know why? Because of what Jesus did for me. Not based upon who I am. Not based upon what work I've done. I have full assurance of faith. You know what? I got up to pray at 1:16 this morning, and I sat at my chair, and I knelt down, and I began to pray to the Lord. And I, because of my full assurances of faith, I had liberty to pour my heart out to God. To pray and call out the names of my brothers and sisters in Christ and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God heard what I prayed. I was able to call out their needs and ask God to intervene in their life. And I was assured, because of my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that He heard what I had to pray. See, when we, in order to draw nigh to God, in order to go further down the road with the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to come to Him with a true heart. We need to come with Him with a full assurance of faith. And the Bible says, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Can I explain that to you there? Because if we're not careful there, that can be almost misunderstood as a work salvation or of things. But you know what was going on here? You know what the example the Bible is using here? This was the Old Testament when the Jews in the tabernacle would offer a sin offering. Now again, and it tells you in the scriptures a little bit beforehand, verse number 10, that the blood of goats and bulls could not cleanse sin. But this is talking about a procedure that went on in that day when they would kill a lamb, when they would take that lamb of the first year that was perfect and without blemish and young, and they would take that lamb and they would at the sixth hour, as we talked about on Wednesday, and they would cut the throat of that lamb and they would let the blood pour out there. The high priest at that time that would go into the Holy of Holies, he would take some of that blood and he would sprinkle it on himself before he went into the Holy of Holies. If he didn't, when he walked in, he'd die immediately. But he sprinkled that blood upon himself. And then as he went in, he'd go to the mercy seat and he'd go to the altar and he would sprinkle blood on that as a picture of what was to come. And that was a picture of showing that he walked into the holiest of holies, free of sin. You know, when I prayed this morning to the Lord Jesus Christ, when I prayed and God answered my prayer, you know what he saw? He saw the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. He saw me without sin. Not because I'm perfect, but because I have a holy and righteous Savior, and His blood and what Jesus Christ did for me washed away my sins. And so the Bible says that if to draw nigh to God, we've got to go in with a full assurance of faith. We must have a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and a body washed with pure water. You know, I really kind of feel sorry for folks that are lost. I really do. Because they go through this life hoping, searching, and looking. You know, when they go through trials and problems like we have here on this earth, they go through it alone. They don't go through it with the help and the assistance that we go through. They don't have a Savior that has washed away their sins. And when they go to the throne room of God, the door's closed. I thank the Lord that I have a Lord Jesus Christ. The second, let us. Here in the Scripture it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. You know, sometimes I grow weary in my walk with the Lord. And sometimes what I will do is that weariness that I feel at times will cause me to waver, will cause me to question. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. You know how to solve that problem? You know how to have less of that time? When it says hold fast, what it means is to grab onto, hold on, squeeze it tight, and don't let it go. You see, sometimes what we do in our lives, we get so wrapped up in the world. We make a profession of faith, and we don't get out of the world. We try to walk in two different places at one time. There's churches today that will teach you that you can be a Christian and live worldly and it's okay. No, I beg to differ with you from the Word of God. It is sin. It is wrong. You can't have one foot in God's house and another foot in the devil's house. The Bible says here that we need to hold fast to the profession of our faith. We need to grab on to that day that we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That day, I remember, and I've shared it with you many times, as a 15-year-old young man at a youth activity, when I knelt down at an old metal chair in a gymnasium and prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart. You know, what the Bible's telling me here is I need to cling to that, I need to hold on to it, and I need to judge and guide every area of my life because of that day. And if I'll do that, you know what'll happen? I won't like the things of the world. I'll withdraw from the things of the world. That besetting sin that's in my life that keeps giving me grief over and over and over again, it'll be easier to let it go. It'll be easier to separate from it if I'll just hold fast. Hold fast. And now, as we go along here, one thing that I'm going to point out, and we'll probably get to it tonight, I really find it interesting as these things, as it says, let us draw nigh. Let us hold fast. And then verse number 24, it says, let us consider one another. Let us consider one another to provoke one another to good works. You know what all these let us is talking about? It's talking about the house of God. It's talking about the church. It's talking about us as a corporate body having a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Doing real business with God. And I want to encourage you to do that. See, the next thing here that it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. You know why it says let us? You know what your responsibility is as a saved, born-again Christian? Is to help and provoke. Now, we're not talking about anger here. We're not talking about picking and poking and prodding. But what we're talking about here is encouraging, guiding, and directing, helping our brothers and sisters in Christ, and allowing our brothers and sisters in Christ to have input in our lives. In order to have a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to have a closer walk with God, you know what we got to do? We got to start taking down these walls. We've got to stop looking at each other, and the Bible tells us that we shouldn't compare ourselves among ourselves. But what we need to do is we need to begin to help each other. And as the Bible says, provoke let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Well, who are we talking about here? We're talking about loving God. We're talking about having a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we need to consider one another. And so what I need to do as a brother in Christ, I need to make sure that I look at my brothers and sisters in Christ, not judgingly. But I need to look at them, and I need to come up alongside them and kind of help them, first of all, by example. If you're not living right, don't come up beside somebody and say, hey, let me tell you how to live. What you need to do is allow someone to come up beside you and say, hey, I've noticed some things, brother. I've noticed some things, sister. I'm concerned. Can I pray for you? Can I help you? Can I assist in some way? You know, I believe anybody would accept that if you came in the right spirit. In the right heart. You say, well, how are we going to come in the right spirit, in the right heart? Well, we're going to come that way out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and out of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says, let us provoke. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, this doesn't say, pastor, consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works. It says, let us. You know, we need to get more involved in each other's lives. You say, oh, I don't know that I want somebody involved in my life. They might find out something that I don't want them to know. Well, good way to take care of that. Get it out of your life, and you won't have to worry about somebody discovering it. Because you want me to tell you something about that? You know that sin that you're hanging on to and that you won't serve God because of, and you may think you've got it hid, but really you don't. And you know what's going to happen, even if you might have the wool pulled over some people's eyes? You know what the devil's going to do? The devil's going to reveal it. Oh, no, he wouldn't do that to me. He sure would, and he'll enjoy it and have pleasure about it. And so the Bible tells us here that we are to consider one another, we're to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, we need to encourage each other. We need to encourage each other to go out visiting. You say, well, how can I encourage somebody to go out visiting and knock on doors? Well, invite them to go and say, come on, let's go do it. Come on, you don't have to say anything. I'll do all the talking. Let's just go knock on some doors. How do you provoke someone into good works? Some of you all that have experience teaching Sunday school need to look around you and then grab somebody and say, hey, come on, how about you come and help me teach a Sunday school class? And in one day, you'll be able to teach that Sunday school class. You see, the Bible says we're to provoke unto good works. And I want to encourage you. You know, again, this year at Faith Independent Baptist Church, as a person of Faith Independent Baptist Church, will you ask yourself, what do you want from God? What do you want from God? I certainly hope you've thought of it. If you haven't thought of it, it's okay. You know what I've done today? I've provoked you to love. I'm provoking you to love your Savior more than you do today. You say, well, how can that be? It can be. It can be. Just like any relationship, it grows and it grows and it grows. And also this morning, what I'm doing is I'm provoking you or encouraging you or guiding you unto good works. Do we have to stop and pray and say, God, do you want Heber and Kentucky reached for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? God, do you want my neighbor to know about Jesus? Should I go over and witness to him? Well, yeah, you should. Now, you might have to go over and apologize to him first. But then you go over and you witness. You know, it's amazing. God has opened up the door for me to witness to my next door neighbor. It's been hard. She hasn't liked me very much. But God's put an evil dog in her life. And it's caused me to be able to get involved and open up a door of opportunity. So I want to encourage you this year, pray and ask God how you can have a closer walk with Him. Take some time, stop, meditate, and listen, because He'll speak to you. Open up your Bible, read, and ask God, show me. You know what I've been praying and asking God for? I've been praying and asking God to let me have a closer walk with Him. And you know what God did? He opened up my eyes. He said, let us draw nigh. Let us hold fast. Let us consider. And then tonight we're going to deal with verse number 25. I encourage you all to come back. Because it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're going to talk about that tonight. And it's not just about church attendance. And we'll deal with that tonight. So let's go ahead to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Chuck, if you'll come, we'll have our invitation. Father in heaven, I thank you for the time that you've given me here this morning. Lord, I thank you for how you've spoke to my heart all this weekend. And Lord, I truly desire to have a closer walk with you. Lord, I want to draw nigh to you. Lord, I want to have a greater fellowship with you. I want to have a greater walk with you. Lord, I want to be closer. I want to do the things you want me to do. And Father, I desire that for our church. And Lord, you've laid out the plan. You've laid out the map of how we can do that and how we can come about getting that done. And Father, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to walk with you, Lord. Help us to do the things that we know we need to do. Lord, help us to allow other people to help us. And Father, we'll love and thank you for it. We ask these things in your name. Amen.